Hail Nuts Garage.
I can hear the clicks. He said, in a few clicks, and I can hear the clicks.
Well, just go for it. Go for it. There's no music. Oh, I heard music. Didn't anybody else?
No.
Oh, well, I'll put it in post. Go, Brenda, go.
Hello, and welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. If you heard that music, you're lucky because nobody here did.
That makes one of you.
Yes, that makes one of you. Welcome. We're so happy. I'm so happy to be here in Pro Tem of the Laughing Buddha, who's off solving the world's Eastern-related problems, I'm sure. But you don't want to hear me. You want to hear your host, and that's a Faye Driver. Welcome, Faye Driver.
Well, hello. Thank you, everybody. I'm sorry I destroyed the stream or destroyed the music. What can I do? It's a highly technical thing we do here, and sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So, hi, everybody, and welcome. This is the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. I am the Faye Driver. You just heard Brenda Boo from Hello Again, It's Brenda Boo, who introduced the show. Sorry the music didn't work out. I'll put it in post. How about that? So we have a lot of guests here. I'll just introduce all the people who are here with me tonight in the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, along with Brenda Boo. We'll just say hello. Let's say hello. Hi, Brenda Boo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Faye? Very good. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, good. I'm happy. I'm good. I'm having a great day as well. And now tell me who is with you in your room. Introduce your cohort, who you've got with you.
Well, he stands about 5'11". He has red hair, blue eyes, and a goatee. And he goes by the name of Mr. Boo.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Boo. Welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
This is technically your first official visit to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage because you were sort of peeking in from behind the curtain there last episode of the live show.
Yes, and I loved it.
So welcome. It's great to have you here on officially as a guest on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Hi.
Hey.
Also in the room, people, we have all the way from Australia, it's Scotty the Little Aussie Battler. Hello, Scotty.
G'day, Canadians and Americans. How's it going?
Well, we're good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you fine.
I myself. I had myself muted before. I know.
And that gentle laugh you hear is Mark, the musing Mark. Hello, Mark in Canada.
Hello, Faye. Thank you for having me tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You and I are gonna talk about why you shouldn't be on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Why I should be tossed aside like a rusty old carburetor, yes.
Precisely. And finally, my last guest tonight, not the least, it's that Peter G. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Faye. How are you? Thank you for having me.
You're coming to us all the way from the lovely state of California. We're having a lovely, warm day here in British Columbia. How's California?
We've been very unseasonably warm, and I'm longing for the return of our marine layer, which sounds weather related, not dirty related, and fog and everything, because it'll be very nice then. So one more day of hot weather.
So you don't like the hot weather? How hot is it?
It's so hot. It was like 94 yesterday, which is very unseasonably warm for us. Whatever that is in your fancy degrees, I can't tell you.
Yeah, sure. Well, we're having a 20 degree day here, which is just about room temperature, I guess. It would be like 70.
Middle of summer in London.
Uh-huh. So it's been a lovely day here. I was actually out driving the little red sports car today, which I haven't driven for a little bit of for a little while anyway. So I was really enjoying myself today. So thanks everybody for joining me here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
You're welcome.
So let's just take a quick look at the chat room. We have some very important people in the chat room. If you're listening to us live right now via pride48.com from the stream, if you go over to the chat room at pride48.com, you'll see that Big Fatty is here. Hello, Big Fatty. He says chat, 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 chat. And we also have Pinky Crone, who I believe would probably be Crone Haven, I guess. So hello to those two people who are here with us in the chat room. So hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey. Hi.
So what's going on? What are we going to talk about today? Does anybody have anything pressing they want to get out real quick?
I do.
Brenda, what's going on, Brenda?
Here we go.
All right, Peter. Hi-o. Just for that, you get a hi-o. My question is, if you have co-hosts and you're doing this is not car-related, but if you have co-hosts and you're doing a show and you come upon a catchphrase that you like, hi-o, do the co-hosts have the right to tell you that you can't say that anymore?
Yes. Okay? Now, Brenda, I did not say that to you. It was not me who did that. I want that clear.
Yeah, sure it is. I'm sorry, it's not car related.
It doesn't have to be car related. We can talk about anything here.
Oh, okay. So do my co-hosts have the right to badger me into submission, Faye?
So really what you're telling me is you're feeling oppressed because you glommed on, you latched on to some catchphrase. You've been overusing it, and now people are saying, Brenda, give it a rest.
I don't know where you get that from.
you're talking about bullying in the podcasting world, Brenda.
Yes. I think it's a lovely resurgence of an homage to Ed McMahon, who's been, you know, out of this world for many years now. I think it's a lovely homage. I don't know what the problem
that
is.
That is not why you started that.
Does Ed McMahon say that?
Well, not anymore. He's been dead for...
Yeah. Well, we know that for sure. He could be.
Well, he used to say that.
Whatever afterlife there is,
he could be saying it in heaven or in hell.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on where he ended up, you know, who knows?
Oh well, it's just on my mind. It's not worthy, talk worthy. So please go ahead.
Okay. Well, listen. You know, we have a couple of special guests here. We have, well, for starters, we have. That Peter G, who is new to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Faye. I was on your live program, so I've been on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage before. I've been up on the rack, on the hydraulic lift, as it were, in the garage.
You wish, my friend. You wish. Are you referring to your appearance on the Las Vegas show? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, that doesn't... All you did was steal a grape and make a few snide remarks. Come on.
I did ask a car-related question.
Yeah, that's true, actually. You did, yeah. That was nice of you, yeah. Yes.
Well, was that supposed to be a segue to Mark in Canada talking about being on a large hydraulic lift?
What?
Well, you know, his secret is now out. What podcast was I listening to recently?
You're talking about my little friend, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Little apparently isn't the word.
Well, I never said it was enormous. I don't know where that rumor got started. No, it's just aesthetically pleasing.
Your words were many, many hundreds of people have gone, wow.
Yeah.
I think that was how you put it.
Yeah, but it's not because it's enormous. Not because of its size, but because of its aesthetics.
Shining beacons of light? Would you open your doors? Or?
Just because for the aesthetics, not for its effectiveness?
Oh, and effectiveness, yes.
Oh, I see. Is it the Hello Kitty tattoo?
No, I've just been told it's the right tool for the job. So,
I edited that show, and his words were... A lot of people have commented on my eyes, but what they really like is my cock. Those were the words that came out of that precious, sweet man's mouth.
I could just, but can't you picture it right now? You know, it's not the size, and there's that moment where he and his romantic interest, and he slowly unzips, and all of a sudden you hear,
oh,
and then clunk as it drops to the floor. Right?
This doesn't fall that far. I just brought it up because it's just another body part, and it's one that hardly anybody ever sees. But you know, Wes has nice hair. I'd rather have nice hair than a nice cock, but that's just me.
Screw that. I'd rather have the nice cock. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
you can't back out of it now, Mark. Sorry.
Not enough. Actually, that's the reason I brought it up. Is that's the reason. So.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of other things that that are embarrassing for Mark. Now, Mark, I've heard this little comment go out about how I don't ever have you back on the the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage show.
Yes.
Now, I feel that you should defend yourself because I don't want you to get the opinion that I don't want you on this show. I think you're very valuable. You have valuable input. I'm very happy to have an anti-car person on the show. I think it shows, you know, respect for the pedestrians of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely provide that voice. But I told you, you know, if I don't add anything to the show, you know, that's fine. I'll go on other shows, you know, it's no problem, you know. I just don't want you to feel obligated to invite me, that's all.
No, I don't. In fact, I don't. I feel obligated to invite nobody, in fact, so.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
You're always welcome on the show, Mark, as you know, and so.
Well, thank you,
Mark. Just so everybody knows who's listening now, Mark just made a cute little comment on another show, a rival show being Lotzel that he never gets called back
can
to
you
the
get that on
iTunes? Garage.
Mm-hmm. You sure can, Scotty. Thank you for bringing that up. Everybody loves that.
Well, let's get back to that, Peter G. Peter G, you have a car that I'm slightly bit interested in, and that is the Nissan Versa. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
I want you to tell us about this car. We'll get into the car portion of the show. If you can tell us what year your car is, when you bought it, and why you bought this car, and also what kind of car is it?
Nissan Versa is a small car. It's a little four-door hatchback, and it's a 2009, and I bought it new. And I just went there one day, and I was looking at cars, and all of a sudden, a couple hours later, I was driving away with a car. And it's a great little car. It really handles very well. It has great maneuverability, I think. And I really like it because it doesn't have any blind spots, as far as I can tell. And so it's the visibility on it is really great. And it's not a fancy car. Like, my husband has a 2011 Nissan Murano that he spent, you know, way too much money on. And the car practically does everything for you. My car is a little more rudimentary. Like, it doesn't have a onboard computer. It doesn't have a GPS. But it gets me
year,
where I want.
What year is it again? Sorry to interrupt. What year?
A 2009.
Okay.
And I have about 53,000 miles on it because I use it to go to work back and forth every day. And then it's the car that we take whenever we're going somewhere, like in San Francisco, like on a Saturday night, and parking is always difficult with his car. We take my car because parking is so much easier. It's so small. And there's only ever been one mechanical problem, and one was a operator error problem that I did on this car. So if you want me to tell you about those, I'll be happy to do so.
So if you can just describe the car for us. It's a four-door, is it a four-door sedan, or more of is it the other version?
Well, it's they call it a five-door. It's a hatchback. So it has a small area in the back accessible from the hatchback, and you would not hold a lot of luggage or anything in the back of the car. But in for the cars of its class, it's supposed to be the roomiest for your backseat passengers. It's of course nothing like the Pride 48 shuttle, but the few times I've sat in the back, it is a surprisingly roomy back there for a small car. So I think it's a kind of a gray, metallic gray color. And it's a very popular car because I see tons of Nissan Versas on the road in the Bay Area.
And so now, what was the purpose for buying this car? Is it a commuter car, or why did you want this car in particular?
Right, it's a commuter car, and it's good on the gas mileage. That was a main reason for me getting it, because I drive back and forth about. It's only about 20 miles back and forth, but it could take a half an hour or it could take 2.5 hours. You just never know with the traffic and the bridge and stuff. So it's a car I'm comfortable in, and it's good on gas. And sometimes I'm in it for quite a while every day. So that's when I get to listen to all my podcasts.
What city are you in, Peter G?
What?
What city do you live in?
In Oakland, in California, right across from San Francisco. But I'm always driving back into San Francisco over the bridge. So we're very dependent. We live and die by that bridge, so traffic-wise.
You know, the claim to fame for the Versa, for at least the first several years of its existence, was that it was one of the only cars in that class that was under $10,000. And it really, from the models that I always saw, it was a very stripped down car, but everybody was saying that, you know, what it lacked in some of the amenities that the other cars had, this one had. It was just kind of a little fun car to drive.
Right. Well, I think you're right about that, Eric. I did get the SL version, which is the fanciest Versa that's possible, which still, in the scheme of things, isn't very fancy, and it's about double the cost of what you said. I paid about $20,000 for it. I got the 5-year warranty thing too. So it was all in all, it was about $21,000.
Did you have to pay extra for that 5-year warranty?
Yeah, that was about, I don't know, $2,000, something like that. But I always get those. It was, I think it was 2 years. So I extended it by 3 years.
So are you overall happy with this car? Are you pleased with how it's been treating you?
It treats me great. I love my little car. It's just really zippy, and parking is a breeze, and the gas mileage is very good. So I've had very minor issues with it, very, very minor issues with it.
Good. And so is there anything you would prefer, if you could make one thing better about the car, is there anything that you would do?
Well, it's kind of the same I would do about any car. I would have multiple power charging outlets in it, because I think in today's society, everyone's got a smartphone or some device. So you need like one for every seat, like on a plane now. And yeah. I would definitely have, if I get another one, and I would probably get another one, I would definitely get the one with the onboard computer now, because now that's a feature of it, of the newer ones, and with the GPS, because I do enjoy having that that option. I have a Garmin that I take back and forth with me when I need a GPS. It works just fine, but it's kind of, you know, bulky, and it's kind of cumbersome to drag that thing around with me all the time. So those are the things I would change.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you guys about the GPS thing? Now, I'm not inclined to knowing, you know, north from south very well, but I feel like these GPS things are really bad, because I think you should still be able to read a map. Don't you think that would be part of a good skill set to retain for the rest of your life, and not just have some douchebag on your bed, on your desk, tell you to turn left? I'm seriously asking that question.
I think yes. And if you've ever lived with like Korean or Japanese flatmates, they have no clue how to read a map. And looking at like Google Maps, a satellite of their city, they can't even point out where they live in their own city, because for some reason, I don't know why, the education system or whatever it is, but they literally just have no clue how to look at a map or read a map, which is, I think, quite weird, but anyway.
But if you're hopeless at it, I think it pays in terms of, like, rescuing your relationship to have a GPS. Because my partner and I got a GPS after getting lost for the dozen, you know, so many, hundreds of times we've gotten lost, because neither of us are good at reading maps. So we leave it to the GPS. But you can't trust the GPS 100%.
Especially if it's Apple Maps.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is that, Brenda, the paper map that you have in the back of your car, that's obsolete, like, the moment you buy it, because street names change, roads change, roads close, construction, you know, there's detours and stuff like that. And the GPS you can update, you know, like I go to the Garmin website, like, every few weeks, and there's a new update that you pay for it, of course, but it updates all of the road changes, so that's a good thing. But Cronehaven pointed out in the chat room that some people have actually, like, driven into a canal. There was a case in the Bay Area of a woman that was following her GPS, and she drove into a canal and died and drowned because the GPS said turn left, and left was a, you know,
now
canal.
Just a minute, okay, just let me stop you right there.
Uh-oh, you're touching a raw nerve. I think Faye's done this.
No.
Is this show sponsored by Garmin or something?
If the woman died, how do you know that she followed her GPS and drove into the lake? Like, come on, she was dead. Come on. And how dumb do you have to be to drive in? I don't buy it.
Faye, I just have to interrupt here and say that my prior flatmate, who had a few social issues, he totally relied on his GPS to drive two suburbs away from our house to a friend of mine's house who he'd been to probably four times, and he still, on the way home from there, would plug in our home address on the GPS.
Oh my gosh.
And would drive, and if the GPS would be a bit slow, he would, like, hit the brakes and stop. And then once when it said via, whatever it said, left or right or something, I think it was left, but it wasn't really, there was just the road turning, but there was also, like, an intersection there, so then he went to actually just randomly turn into a side street. I'm like, where are you going? Just go straight ahead. This is the main road. And he's like, the GPS told me to turn. And I'm just like, you've driven this way, like, four times in the last month. But yeah, he literally would just, you know, brain off, follow the GPS. It was scary.
Right. I think it's brain atrophy. Because remember, before the advent of cell phones, we've all been around this earth long enough now that we remember good old-fashioned mounted-to-your-wall phones, right? If you needed to find somebody's number, it was in your head. You rolled through all these phone numbers. You knew, you know, Aunt Eileen was 712-829-2555, and Grandma was 623, blah, 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 you know, whatever. But now that we have the technology to save that, if you asked me what my parents' phone number is, I would not be able to tell you, because that portion of the brain has been atrophied and used for some other purpose, namely trivia.
It's like having a calculator. I mean, you know, quick, Eric, what's 753 times 412? Exactly. You know, I mean, you used to have to write that out, you know?
So I think that's honestly where the GPS is, that same theory that they're just, that since they're, it's not a skill set that they're using on a regular basis, it just goes to pot.
Well, especially in this area where roads are changing all the time, you really can't rely on a GPS unless you do want to end up in, you know, the Burrard Inlet or something. So,
the beauty of Iowa is that it is laid out in a Jeffersonian pattern, which is grids, and there's usually a road every mile.
I thought there was a slave girl on every corner.
No, that's only in the western side of the state.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But you can't get lost in Iowa.
Peter, the answer to your question is 291,236. case you're wondering.
Oh, well, Scotty came up with a different answer. So, I mean, the two of you can't even agree.
Was it 753 times 412?
Yes, yes.
I would go with Scotty's. Math is not my strong suit either.
Did you write that out? Did you write that down and calculate it?
I did.
Oh, no.
Wrong again.
I used Apple calculator.
Oh, yeah. I used my little fingers and my handies and came up with the wrong answer, apparently.
Does anyone else have anything to say about GPSs? Or the Nissan Versa?
Well, Faye, do you want me to tell you my two little issues with it?
I do, yes.
The first one is it happens every about 3 or 4 months. I'd be driving around for about 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden the little light in the dashboard that tells me that there's a tire pressure problem in one of the tires goes on, so the sensor. And they've calibrated it and recalibrated it and recalibrated it, you know, I think every couple times a year for 4 years now. And it just keeps doing it. And so I don't even trust it anymore that my tires are low or, you know, my tire might be overinflated or underinflated. And they keep saying, oh, well, you know, it's a problem with this model. It does that. You know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, it'll blink for a while and then it goes away. So that's the only issue that I've had with it. Mechanically speaking, is the tire sensor pressure thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just check your pressure on a regular basis anyway, don't you?
Right, and it's always fine. It's exactly where it should be, so.
Well, that's unfortunate. What are you going to do? I mean, you've had a technician look at it, and they're basically saying, yeah, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
Are you completely frustrated by it?
It is a little frustrating, yeah. I mean, I see it, and I go, oh, my little friend is back, and then I take it in. Because I'm very good about taking it in for every, you know, 3,000 miles for oil and stuff, and I say, you got to recalibrate that thing again. And once they actually replaced it, and it worked for a while, and then started going off again, so.
Maybe you need nitrous in your tires, like a certain podcaster that shan't be named.
Right.
You be careful there, mister. It's deleted right off this thing.
He will. He'll throw you right out of here.
And
go ahead.
Faye, the only other thing I ever did with my car, the operator error, was like I drove to work one morning and I had a lot of things on my mind and I put the car in park but I didn't turn it off and I got out and I locked the door and I went to work and I was there for 9 hours and the car was on for 9 hours.
Wow, really? Oh,
yeah. I didn't run out of gas because I had like 3/4 of a tank of gas. And so I came back and I couldn't understand why I couldn't start it. It was already running, you know.
Wow.
And I finally figured it out. So I took it in to Nissan and they said it should be fine. It was in a garage. So it was in a closed, but it was kind of an open area also. Mm-hmm. But they replaced the fuel injector pump.
Oh, yeah.
And they said that's the only thing that you may have damaged, so they just replaced it. And it was under warranty, so I didn't even have to pay for it. But that's my operator error story.
That's funny. That's amazing.
Can I say something about the hatchback? I had a Chrysler Horizon.
No. Dodge Omni.
I had a Dodge Plymouth Omni Horizon. And a Plymouth Horizon. Both came with a hatchback, and I moved several times with a hatchback. You can fit a lot of shit into a hatchback, and I am pro hatchback.
I, on the other hand, think that it's certain times hatchbacks are poor design features, like the Hyundai Veloster.
Yes,
it's a 4-door with the hatch on the back. I don't like the way spoiler. I don't like the position of the spoiler. I just don't like that. I like everything else about the car. I just don't like the hatch.
I love the hatch. Can I tell you another story about my Horizon?
He chuckled there. Where were you going, Faye?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
No, I'm wondering, what are you sneaking? You're sneaking ahead, Eric. You're looking ahead. You can't look ahead.
I Can I not make an observation about a hatchback?
Okay, now just a minute. Just hold the phone here. Okay, Brenda, you go ahead. Tell your little story about your hatchback again. What else did you want to say?
I wanted to tell you how naive I used to, well, continue to be, but this was even more naive. When I was in my 20s, I used to go home and visit my parents every once in a while. And I had this, I had my Horizon, and I was driving. All of a sudden, I just heard this thump, 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 thump. And I'm like,
oh, that was Mark's cock dragging alongside. Oh,
poor Mark. And,
but she stopped and admired it.
So I stopped and I looked around and I, you know, I got on my side and I went to the back left wheel and I went out and I got back in and I started driving again. I was like, dum, 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 dum. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I go, I get it down this hill. I go to this garage. It was like a, not like a garage garage, but some kind of weird building. And there's a couple dudes in there. And I called my dad. And actually my mom, and then my mom called my dad at work, and I said, there's this terrible sound. Oh, my God, I don't know what it is, and I'm freaking out. And I hang up, and these guys come out, and they're like, your back right tire is blown. So it was a flat tire, and I hadn't even walked around in the car to look, and I was sure that the whole suspension was out and everything. And they ended up switching my tire out for me. Just shows you how, you know, dumb a person can be.
That's when you just say, I relied on the kindness of strangers.
Yeah, they
and were, they fixed your tire and away you went.
Yeah, I felt pretty stupid though.
Oh, well. Now, okay, Eric, now what's with this? What is this about? I don't quite understand. You don't like the hatchback because of the spoiler,
we're talking. Sometimes hatches work, like mm-hmm. in the Omni, it was functional. There was a Toyota that I can't remember the one that my sister had, but the hatch worked on it. It was fine. It's functional. Subaru has a number of them that are hatchbacks and stuff, and I like them. But the modern trend is in the design. They put a hatch, and then like halfway down the window, they put a spoiler there. So you can't even, you don't get a full the rear window.
I see. So you're saying the window is blocked because at the midpoint, which is about right where your eye level is, there's a thing there.
Yeah. And that bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, for me, it's a safety concern because I like to have that nice full view out the back.
Sure.
So it's just me, my preference.
Mm-hmm. I've for people who might be listening live right now, I've put a couple of links into the chat room for the Hyundai Veloster, which is this new car that Hyundai's had out for, it's been a year now or so, I think. And it's kind of a nifty-looking little car. It seems like a fun car to drive. It's like it's a small car. I think they come in two doors and four doors, maybe. And
isn't it three door?
They call it four door, but they consider the hatch the fourth door.
Yeah, that's right. Dumb. Why don't they just say three door? Because isn't it the passenger side has like suicide doors? Like you open the front door and then the back door can open, but it's only on the passenger side.
Right. Yeah, and it's got this strange angle for the door cutout.
I think that'd be good to go back to the future in.
Oh, jeez.
Honestly. I think they look good. I want to buy one.
You should.
Are we changing subjects, Faye?
Nope.
Let's talk about you, Scotty the little Aussie battler. Now, you were threatening to go buy a new car, but you did just purchase something else. Is this true? Do you have a scooter now?
Well, you are ruining the comeback show I'd planned for 2013.
Oh, no.
When I was going to announce that, but
in 2013,
yes.
That's a long way away.
Yep. Well, true. No, not really. The year's nearly over now. Yes, I do have a scooter. A Bug is the brand. Bandit is the model. It's got 50 cc's. Yep. 50 cc's of pumping power. And it's kind of a gray color.
And why did you get yourself a scooter?
Because my brother wouldn't return my car that he'd kind of sold me on the cheap and then borrowed back for 9 months. And, of course, the week after I got my scooter, he then rang up and said, oh, you can have the Hilux back now.
Mm.
So slightly ironic, but, you know, that's my life, you know, sliding towards a Lotsal life. So, yeah, and it was $500. Huh. So you can't knock that back, can you?
Right. So have you been enjoying this bug, what is it, a bug bandit?
Yeah, I have been, except there is a slight problem. The brake light does not turn off now, so I need to go and get it serviced.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but it was very cheap. I've only filled the petrol tank twice in about 6 weeks.
And how much does that fill cost each time?
Costs $4.
Hmm.
So it's fairly economical.
So are you driving back and forth to work on this, or do you use this in...
Until the brake light stopped turning off, I was driving to work. But now I think it's a little bit dangerous when all the cars behind you can never tell if you're stopping because the brake light's on the whole time.
I see, yeah. So are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I am.
Do you feel freer and more happy?
Yes, I feel free and gay, and sometimes when I'm riding along, I kick one foot out to the side, either in happiness or because I'm trying to scratch a BMW down the side, because BMW drivers are the worst.
Yeah, they are.
But yes,
just
it's good.
Tied up in their own little world.
That's right. Hooning around.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Faye driver.
Yes.
Would you look in the chat room right now and look right above the last thing that I typed? Do you see what that says?
Hey, look. Oh, yeah. Okay. You're going away?
Bot no. Definition mode.
Look, I'm part of the Pride Helper. I'm part of the bot now.
Oh, look. I see. Hmm?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yay!
How did you do that, Brenda?
I didn't. Somebody program that into their whatever they do. And I have a... So like when you do Big Fatty, you say Big Fatty, his stuff comes up. They've got me in their rotation now. I made it. You guys, I made it. I think that's all.
congratulations, Brenda Boo. You're now ingrained into the Pride 48 chat room.
You're going to be sacked from Lotsal, Brenda, if you keep going like this.
Why?
Well, you can't be on the shit list if you're one of the co-secret organizers of Pride 48 chat room.
She's one of the suits now.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. That made my whole day. All right, back to you.
All right, thank you. All right, go ahead.
I was just saying, and she looked at me and was like, don't take over the show from Faye.
I made a comment about the Honda.
Sorry.
I have nothing. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Scotty, you broke up. Say again.
What's your opinion on scooter driving?
Oh, I think scooters are fantastic. I love them, and I think they're great for short-range trips. And more power to scooter drivers across the world.
Thanks.
So
I have a scooter story. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, so when I was in high school, my dad had mopeds were really popular in the late 70s, early 80s. And my dad bought this thing. It was called a Motopicon. You ever heard of these? How's that funny to you, Mark?
I don't remember mopeds being cool in the 80s, but go ahead.
I said popular. I didn't say anything about them being cool. People drove them. And little idiot girls who didn't have a car they could drive would drive this moped to get to their friend's house in this little tiny town that I grew up in. Anyway, one time I'm driving this Motopicon across town. It's a big moose of a moped. And I ran over this dog.
Oh, you hit a dog? That's a funny story. What's wrong with you?
No, listen to this.
On a moped? Wouldn't the dog have wiped out the moped?
Seek counseling, please.
Oh, shut up, Peter. Oh, now listen, the story is I didn't hit it. I ran over it. I drove all the way over.
It was a dead dog?
It was not a dead dog, but the dog then did little circles and went, wah, wah, wah. It shit him. And then it ran home. His homes. Well, that's not the end of the story. So then the kids who own the dog.
Oh, she turned around and hit it again.
These little kids who own the dog came running out. Ah, you hit my dog.
Then they ran around and shit themselves.
So I just freaked out. The mother comes out. She gives me this vicious look. So, whatever. They forget about me. I go to my friend's house. I'm like, I ran over a dog. Anyway, I did the right thing. I went back a couple days later. How is your dog? The dog lived. But that's my moped story.
They should have leashed that dog. It's not your fault.
It's a little white dog, too. Anyway.
With a black stripe down the middle now.
It just came out of nowhere, I'm telling you. Okay.
Was this the kind of a moped you had to pedal, like it had pedals and everything? Did you have to pedal it to get it going?
Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah. You bet.
It was a tank. But it still got me across town. I liked it. And I felt cool, man.
Were you wearing a helmet or anything?
Hell no. Hell no. This was 1980. I wasn't wearing a helmet. What are you talking about?
She had enough Aquanet in her hair.
Aquanet? How dare you? Okay. That's the whole movie.
Mark, you had a car question, I think. You emailed me later this afternoon, and you had a question about cars.
This
a
may
pleasant, a nice question about cars.
Yeah, this may come as a shock to everybody, but, you know, on occasion I've been accused of slamming doors.
Not that question. Go ahead.
This is the one I want to know about, though. This could impact my future. So, but in my defense, I grew up in the 70s and cars were built like tanks and, you know, cars had heavy doors and that required a lot of brute force to close them. You know, especially for two-door sedans. And so, you know, that's what I grew up knowing to do, which was really to put your shoulder into closing the car doors. And I even have to do that with our Suzuki Swift. I really have to slam it, you know, to close the door. But so when I encounter the doors of other cars, I automatically do that. I give them a good slamming. But, you know, and sometimes this has been known to infuriate the car's owner.
That's not fair. So
I can imagine.
So my question is just this. How should I, as a passenger, determine the correct amount of force to employ to properly close the door of, you know, say a BMW, you know, without damaging the car or my relationship with the car's owner? Like, how do you know how much force to use to close the door?
Faye, may I give a whack at answering this?
Oh, please do. Yes, go ahead.
When I was taught etiquette as a child, and we were taught formal dining etiquette, you know, you were at a banquet, and you were unsure of what silverware to use, the rule of thumb was to watch your host. And the host, if they picked up a certain fork for the salad, well, then you knew that was going to be the fork. If you picked up the certain spoon for the soup, you knew that was going to be the soup. In this case, I would say, following the same philosophy, if you get out of the car, wait, watch how the host shuts his door, then you shut with the appropriate amount of force.
Good Lord. That's a lot of forethought to be putting in just shut goddamn door.
Very wise.
That's not bad. That's a good idea.
Then that would be the smart move. Either that or you slam it and say, fuck off.
Does anybody else have any comments on closing a door?
I would say that the older the car is, yeah, you probably have to do it a little bit harder. But the newer cars, yeah, it doesn't seem like you have to touch touch it very much. So if it's a brand new car, it's better to do it twice than slamming it once, as we have clearly seen in the past.
I would say that it's better to do something right the first time. So give the door a bloody good swinging shut. And if your car happened to be, you know, constructed at an extremely high level, it would be able to cope with the occasional hard door close.
Well, that's what you'd think, but yeah.
Well, Faye, do you think that someone repeatedly slamming a car door, like say Mark did on your car, is equivalent to you like driving over a speed bump at an unhealthy speed for the car? Isn't it always that it's going to loosen something over time?
Well, no, I don't know. I'm a bit at a loss of words, obviously. No, I don't think. I think the car can take an occasional door slam, but I didn't mean to make Mark have nightmares or anything like that. I merely, you know, I've known Mark a long time. He's slammed a lot of doors in the time that I've known him, and I think I've
been
put up
building with, and building,
and I've reached my limit.
Oh, it's perfectly understandable. I'm just wondering, as a passenger, how I can avoid doing that because it's so habitual, you know, just to slam it because that's what I grew up doing. So, but sure, I totally understand because I don't like people that slam doors in a house or in a condo. It's like, do you have to slam the door so much? And I think Scotty has had that experience of people just slamming doors all the time. So I don't want to be a door slammer, is my point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I realize. It's very odd to me that you would be a door slammer because you're always searching for peace and tranquility in your life, you know. And this is just such a outside your character to be so violent, Mark. So I was a little taken aback by that.
When he gets out of the car, he's got a face like, you son of a bitch, a door.
No.
Just a shut.
No, absolutely not. He's not at all. But he in the past, he's sometimes closed the door with some measure of force. But I'm not upset in the least. However, it's got to stop.
You know. Mark, maybe you should close the door with your cock from now on.
That's a good idea, yeah.
You know, everybody thinks Mark's so nice, but I don't know how many times Mark has told me just to shut up, woman. I think there's something lying underneath there that we don't know about, some hidden
aggression. Brenda, the men were talking.
Hi-oh.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, Mark.
No, I totally get it. But it's just different cars do require different levels of closure. Like, I really have to slam the doors on the Suzuki Swift. So I will follow Eric's advice and wait to see what the driver does. That's a good idea.
That's good advice. Yeah, I don't think I have an answer for that. You're right. Every car is different. So some cars need a little bit of extra force, and some cars don't at all. So I don't think that's something there's no real general rule. You have to try. If the door doesn't close the first time you try it, then maybe you should use a little more force. So whatever.
Right.
Hey, Mark, do you want to do a podcast with me, and we'll call it The Men Were Talking? That would be an awesome name for a podcast.
The Men Were Talking podcast. Sounds good.
Okay.
So you had another question, Mark, in Canada about snow tires. Do you want to bring that question up, and then we'll have to close out the show? We've almost run through an hour here.
Yeah, sure. It used to be that people kept 4 snow tires in the back of the garage for winter driving. Does anybody still do this, or are all tires just all weather now? And if you put them on, when do you put them on?
Mm-hmm.
In Iowa. Tire dealers, you can get snow tires here. Sometimes we've had winters that have been bad enough that warrant it, but snow tires generally cost 3 times higher than the all-season radials, and they don't provide that much traction, at least here in Iowa. So, I don't know what British Columbia is like, Vancouver's like.
I think Scotty's the one to go to for this question.
Clearly.
Living in Australia, I think you might have a lot of information about that.
Well, there is one thing Australia does do better than America, and that is have special tyres for winter. So our tyres are just ready and able to plough through snow at the shortest notice.
And when was the last time it snowed in Australia?
Probably only a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
But in Brisbane, never.
Yeah.
But in the snowy mountains, yes, probably.
Do people live in the snowy mountains?
Yep. Yep, people do.
Is that what they're called, the snowy mountains? Not very imaginative.
Yep.
Yeah, because there's the man from Snowy Mountain, right?
That's right.
That movie.
They're called Sherpas.
No.
That famous Australian movie, The Man from Snowy Mountain?
Yeah.
There was a whole series on PBS, I think.
Oh.
Sorry.
Faye's too busy out going sideways around the corners in the melted snow.
I do enjoy driving in the snow. Peter,
is it snow in Canada?
Absolutely.
A little bit.
Once a year in Vancouver, one day a year it snows. But Peter G., what's your situation in where you are?
In the Bay Area, it never really snows. I think we had one snow flurry once. But, you know, we have mountains around us. So there's a mountain, the 4,000 feet by San Jose, Mount Hamilton. There's also Mount Diablo, which is 3,000 feet. And occasionally in the winter, you'll see snow at the very top of those mountains. But, you know, you drive 3 hours, 4 hours, you're in Lake Tahoe, and it's, you know, winter season up there from now until, you know, beginning of April. So, I mean, they count on the snow. So there's snow if you want snow. You have to just travel a little bit to get it.
I think everybody here, we get the most snow of this group.
Well, and it's not so much the snow that's the bothersome. It's the ice here. I'll shut up.
But
I'm sorry.
No, but snow packs down and becomes slippery.
Yeah, but black ice and ice is nasty.
Let's talk.
I don't believe in black ice.
That's racist.
Yeah,
that was me. Okay, well, first let's talk about Vancouver snow. Here in Vancouver, it snows very little. It does snow, and there's always a risk of snow. And we have, you know, on the average, about 1 week of snow per year on the ground, on the roads and what have you. Unless it's a highly unusual year, we did have a heavy snowfall a couple of years ago that was, it really was hard on the city, but we managed to get through it. So this is a difficult question, I think, because it largely depends on where you live and your likelihood for getting snow. And for us in Vancouver, you, me, Mark, and that Peter G., who lives in a similar climate, I think, I don't think we really need snow tires, especially if you know, for the 2 or 3 days that it might snow, if you can either walk to work or take transit or avoid going to work altogether, then you shouldn't need snow tires. But we don't all live.
Can't you just put chains on your tires?
Yeah.
Snow chains?
That's really
what you do. That's what you do in the Bay Area when you're going up to Tahoe. You put chains on the tires because it's required. It's at past a certain point.
I don't agree. Yeah, I wouldn't. They couldn't force me to put chains on my tires.
It's tough. It really beats hard up on the road, and it can, if you don't put them on right, it'll beat the crap out of your car too. Around here, we average at least 1 foot or 2 foot. There have been a couple snowstorms that will dump 18 inches in a shot, and there's no snow tire in the world that is going to plow you through some of the stuff we get. So, but
I think there is a case though for snow tires. I mean, a proper snow tire shouldn't be any more expensive than a regular all season tire. The only thing is, it is an extra expense. I have a set of snow tires for one vehicle that I drive because my other vehicles are terrible in the snow, and I wouldn't even consider trying to drive them in the snow, much less taking the risk for someone to plow into them, some unskilled driver, snow driver, to plow into the car. So I only use one vehicle. Of course, not everybody has a garage full of vehicles they can pick and choose which one to use. So,
The only reason why I mentioned the price difference is because last year I did research for my car snow tires, mm-hmm. and the dealers that said they could order a snow tire all said that, you know, they priced them and it was double what the all seasons were. So that's kind of why I kind of based my assumption on.
Yeah. But, and I can see that. And I think, you know, one of the keys, it depends on the car too. Like, especially a newer car, they have the newer cars these days are getting high performance tires. They're much larger rims with a lower profile tire, and getting a snow tire in a profile that matches your sort of lower profile, slightly more high performance tire would be much more expensive. But a solution to that is to purchase a rim, which is more of a standard size that you can get a more standard size tire put onto that still will fit your car. And then those shouldn't be more expensive. It should be as much as a normal tire. Snow tires is a very complex question, and it depends on your car and the type of driving that you do and the type of what kind of snow, what kind of winter conditions you're going to be encountering. So it's a difficult question to answer as sort of a wide ranging paintbrush type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say for you, Mark, in Canada,
yes,
or in Vancouver, I wouldn't even bother getting winter or snow tires.
No. Usually what we do is as soon as the snow falls, we, you know, lock up the garage because we're not going to.
Yeah.
All we're going to do is slide around on the snow. So
we have really horrible snow here, too. It's very wet and very slippery and slick, and it's really nasty to drive in.
Yeah.
But for someone in Iowa, for instance,
yes.
I think snow tires is probably a good investment. You must have snow for more than, you don't have very much snow? Like, this doesn't make sense to me.
We'll get, when the snow comes, it's usually here for several months.
No, we have
snow
for months and months.
Yeah.
But you just ride around on all seasons.
Yep. Because they're pretty good about, they have a pretty good budget for
sand
plowing.
And plowing.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as...
Do you try to buy your all-season tires at the beginning of the snow year?
We don't get them every year. I need new tires.
Yeah, we'll probably purchase her tires here in the next month or so because she does need them for upcoming season.
Actually, the best kind of vehicle in snow, if you don't have four-wheel drive, is a front-wheel drive vehicle with a standard transmission with a clutch, because that gives you the most amount of control. So I have my little Honda Civic, and I can get all over town with that.
Mm-hmm. No problem. I had a Toyota pickup truck with a 22R four-cylinder engine. It was a 4x2 front-wheel drive. And I could... What do I say? It was a rear-wheel drive. But I could take that sucker anywhere.
I couldn't.
But I also drove it with wild abandon, so if I hit something, I didn't care.
Yeah, Mark, if you drive in the snow, it just takes a little practice. And the biggest thing is you just can't go as fast as you can when it's dry out.
Right.
And if you hit a if you start to slide, you don't turn away from the skid, you turn into it, and that'll straighten you back out.
Right. I've always heard that, and I still don't understand what that means. Turn into it. I don't understand. I don't understand how you're supposed to think of that while you're careening through ice and snow and everything.
Peter, let me tell you
about that whole explanation is lost on me.
Peter, I did it one time, so just listen. I was driving down the highway, and it was a snow-covered highway, and I was over too far, and my right tire went off the road, and I skid, and I started to go into the other side of the road, the highway. So instead of turning to the right, which is where I wanted to go, I turned left, and that turned the car back to the way I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It works. I've done it.
It does.
I know. That doesn't make any sense at all to me.
That's either. Turning away from the way you're skidding.
No, she turned into it.
You turned into the skid.
She said her right tire, which was skidding towards the right, and she turned the left. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, listen to me.
Isn't that what she said?
No. That's what I understood.
My tire went over the concrete onto the shoulder, which made the car lose control, and then I started going off to the left, to the other side of the highway, into oncoming traffic. So I turned my wheel left, which made my car come back onto the right side of the road. It happened. I was there. You can sit there and not believe me, well, but that yes, happened.
We believe you. We just don't understand, I think. There's something we're missing. Let me try to tackle this one, Peter. Okay. Here's what you do when your car's skidding. So you're driving along, and something happens, and your rear end goes wiggling out one way or the other, right? Is this the situation we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you fishtail, yes.
Right, no, okay.
I didn't fishtail. I was going into the opposite lane. So it wasn't a fishtail where the back end went out of control. The front went off.
The men are talking.
Oh,
okay. Okay, Brenda. So basically you're saying you were driving along and you got pointed towards the oncoming traffic. So you steered away from the oncoming traffic.
Well, I steered.
Is that what you said?
No, you steer into it.
And then you got, and then that took you away from it.
And that put me back to the right side of the road where I needed to be.
Okay, that's good. That's great. You still don't believe it? It makes no sense physically in the world of physics.
It does.
Scotty, do you believe me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, well, the next time we get together, I want you to get a salt shaker and a menu and map this out for me because I need to understand this, and I don't understand it.
I will.
And hopefully somebody will have a stapler because every good description of a car accident involves a salt shaker and a stapler. That's what I think.
Okay, but Faye, you were saying, yes, so the back of your car is going in one direction and the front of your car is kind of swinging in the other direction. So this is the part I don't understand about steering into the skid. Are you doing, you going to the front or the back?
Right. So here's what you want to do. Don't think about any of that stuff. What you want to do is you should be looking in the direction that you would like your car to be going, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's just say, let's try to describe this in physical terms here. You're driving along, the bum of your car, the rear end of your car, skids out sideways towards the left, okay?
Yes.
So it's as though your left shoulder is now driving sideways down the road. Does that make any sense? That makes sense to you?
Right.
So now, in order to be able to see where your car was going, you would have to be looking to your left out the side window, correct? So your car's driving along, the bum skids out. The direction of travel that you're actually going is you'd be facing out the left window, looking down the road to where you want to go. And what you want to do to correct for this problem is to steer towards where you would like to go. So in this case, you would steer your wheel towards the left, which would be the direction of travel, and that's going to bring the bum of your car back around, back in line, to follow a straight line down the road. Does that...
Right, because that will turn your front end to the left.
Yeah,
so you're saying you'll
even out.
That's what I just said. You turn into the skid.
Exactly. Oh, well, then we're all
on the same page.
but it was only the front end of her car that was askew.
No, it was the ass end that was askew. She corrected it with the front end.
Okay. Well, Brenda, you didn't do a very good job explaining the scenario.
You know what? You men can all bite my ass. I said turn into the skid about four times.
Brenda.
Yes.
Were you barefoot at the time, and where were the shopping bags?
I was so pregnant, I couldn't see past my belly. I was that knocked up, too.
Was scoliosis on your lap or in the car seat?
Oh, I lock them in the trunk. How do you think she got her back problems?
We're not going to go down this path again.
Thank you, Scotty, for backing me up. I appreciate that.
I was listening.
Okay. All right. That's it, folks. I've had enough of you guys.
You did invite us all, right?
I did.
Had enough of us.
That's so let's have everybody tell us where we can find you all And I don't know, who should we start with? Let's start with Brenda and Eric.
Well, you can find me on the street corner of Main and 21st in about an hour and a half selling my wares. But also, and hello again, it's Brenda Boo.
Thank you. And thank you, Eric, for being here as well.
Yeah, thank you again. I hope I didn't, you know, wear out my welcome.
Not at all. But the next time, I would love to have you on the show by yourself. If
hey.
You know what I'm saying.
Hey.
Mark in Canada, how can we find you?
You can find me standing along the streets in Vancouver slamming car doors. But when I'm not doing that, you can find me at musingsofatechwriter.com.
And Scotty?
You can find me on Facebook under... I don't know what my Facebook thing is. Scotty, maybe Aussie Battler or something like that. And on Twitter, because I haven't yet deleted that.
Yeah, you can't delete Twitter. Come on. Delete Facebook if you're going to delete anything.
I'm going to delete people on Twitter that, you know, just tweet so much I'm overloaded with the pressure. Like, I don't know, someone on this show at the moment. But
actually,
yeah,
she's
you know,
done a really good job of not tweeting all the time.
Hey,
I'm defending her.
I've been a good girl.
I'm just taking the piss out of hey.
I only tweeted 7 times today, guys. Come
That's
on.
That's terrible.
Wow.
That is amazing. You tweet as much as you like.
Thank you.
Peter, how may we find Peter?
Lots of life on the shit lists, lifeontheshitlist.com and or that Peter G on the Twitter, and thank you for having me, Faye. It's been a lot of fun and very informative.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're very welcome. Okay, well, I am the Faye Driver. Thanks to everybody for joining us here tonight on Pride 48 for the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. Just a final hello and a goodbye to those people who've joined us in the chat room from pride48.com. We have Mr. Mike 72 in the room. Which is Mike in Squamish, and Pinky Crone, the Crone Haven. Thank you all for joining us as well. And I think we'll be back again next week with a whole new set of guests.
Oh. Tossed aside again.
The Pink Wheelnuts Garage. Watch your ears, folks. We're cutting out of the stream. Good night and have a good weekend. Bye-bye.